Isn't that the message that we hear today? You're God's child. He loves you. You're all his children. So he's not going to judge you. Grace, 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 grace. Well, yes, for true believers, he's not going to judge us. But true believers have been changed, and we no longer desire to sin that way. We mourn over our sin. We are those who mourn over and desire to do what's right. We are those who confess our sin.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, you gave today's message an interesting title. Is your God in a box?
Yes, I did, Dave. And if you want to know what it means, you're going to hang out with us and listen to our message from Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 4 to 21, where we're going to begin to find the answer to the question, is your God in a box?
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we live in a physical world. We live and function in a sense by what we see. You know, when you're driving along, we don't close our eyes. We look at the road, right? When we're walking, we walk and look where we're going. We live in a physical world, and our senses are physical. Now, in that context, that's everybody, whether believers or not. But the reality is there is a spiritual sphere, and we as believers understand that. And we understand that we who have been redeemed have received the Spirit of God as a pledge. We have Him in us forever. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, temple of the living God. And we realize there is more to this world than just what we say. Now, when difficulties and troubles come, often at times we rely on what we see or we react to what we see. Whatever types of storms or trials in life that come upon us, we often react merely physically speaking in terms of what we see and understand from the physical sphere. But yet there is a spiritual sphere, as I've mentioned, and God, who is sovereign over everything he's created, seen and unseen, is behind all things. He is bringing forth good, and he is turning evil to good. And within that, we need to understand that our God is much bigger than what we think, and what he does, even in the spiritual sphere, is much larger than what we think. Take, for instance, angels. They are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. There are angelic beings. We see quite possibly we each have a guardian angel, Matthew chapter 18, and we see that in the beginning. And in the context of that, we recognize, again, the spiritual sphere is much larger. In the Old Testament, the Lord God revealed at times his mighty angels. Oh, pulled back the curtain to show what was going on in the physical sphere, but behind that in the spiritual sphere. But sometimes we can put our God in a box. We can have him and see him from our perspective and not recognize he is sovereign over all, and he uses his ministering spirits to accomplish his will. And today we're going to see that as we look in our passage in Ezekiel. So would you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 21. We're not going to get to the expanse portion, but we're going to get to the portion, as we'll see in a moment, concerning these angelic beings that do his will at his command. Okay, with that in mind, let's share a little bit of the context of the book of Ezekiel. We know, as we mentioned from last week, and you might want to get that message, I go through the context of creation up to the point where we get to Israel. But here we know in 1405-ish BC, on the plains of Moab, as the Israelites are ready to enter the land, Moses shares again the law to them, the generation that has risen after the other generation died in the wilderness because of unbelief. And he shares it to them again, Deuteronomy, second law, same law, but brought forth again, second time. And within that, he shares the blessings and cursings, Deuteronomy 28 through 30. If Israel was to obey the covenant they made with the Lord at Sinai, they would be blessed. If they were to disobey, they would be cursed. And if that disobedience continued, the cursing would include a terrible expulsion from the land. We saw that and we read that in Deuteronomy 28. And unfortunately, Scripture reveals that Israel over and over again disobeyed the Lord, that they over and over again acted in unbelief. Although we see a remnant, the majority of God's people were in unbelief, God's people, the nation of Israel. Now, as they continued to disobey, the prophets continued to warn them of the consequences of their disobedience to the word, not heeding his word, not obeying him. And yet they continued. And in 722 BC, in accordance with God's prophetic discipline, we see the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, 2 Kings 17. Now, although Judah remained, they also continued in sin from king to king. Although there was very small bits of righteousness, such as King Josiah, we know that a year before he began his reforms, Ezekiel was born in 623 BC. And we know that Josiah brought those reforms after that. And Ezekiel, as we'll see today, he was a Levite, he was a priest, and he was most likely raised during those reforms of Josiah. But in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar solidified himself as the emperor of the world, in a sense, as the Babylonian Empire became a world empire, and he defeated Pharaoh Necho at Carchemish, Jeremiah 46:2. And from there, he went to address the Jews, and he sieged them in 605 BC. And he took the first set of captives to Babylon, 2 Kings 24 and Daniel 1, which included Daniel and his three friends. Now, Ezekiel was still in Jerusalem at this time, but then in 597 BC, now we're counting the other direction because we're going towards Christ. This is, so it's BC. In 597, Jerusalem was sieged again. And 2 Kings 24 records that 10,000 captives, Jews, were taken to Babylon. And this included Ezekiel and, as we see, Jehoiachin, included him. Okay? Now, at that point, 5 years later, we see in 593, and as we see in our passage in chapter 1, which we'll review, that's when Ezekiel begins his ministry, 5 years after that second deportation, okay? Then, in 588 to 586, for 18 months, we have the third and final siege of Jerusalem. It's a gruesome ordeal, 2 Kings 25 and Ezekiel 24. Then at the end of the siege in 586, Jerusalem is destroyed, the temple and the city walls are destroyed, and we have the final exile to Babylon, Ezekiel 33 and 2 Kings 25. Now remember, there were three deportations to Babylon, 605, that was with Daniel, 597 with Ezekiel, and 586, Jerusalem is destroyed. Now, the book of Ezekiel is centered around this third and final 18-month siege. It's centered around that. The first 24 chapters are oracles leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32 are prophecies during the siege. And then chapters 33 to the end are prophecies after the siege. Now, in light of that broader context, what's the narrow context? Well, Ezekiel is in captivity, as we'll see, and he is prophesying or will be prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are about to be judged in Judah and Jerusalem. And it's apparent that even though there had been two sieges and deportations, those remaining in Judah were still in grievous sin and were still listening to the false voices of assurance through the false prophets that God was fine with them, that even Babylon would be overthrown in 2 years, they'd be fine. We see that in Jeremiah. We looked at that last week. But Ezekiel's contemporary in Jerusalem reveals that mindset. They were prophesying a speedy delivery, that everything's fine, Jeremiah 28. Peace and safety. God loves you. He's going to take care of you. You're his people. You're fine. And yet Jeremiah continued to prophesy that God's discipline was coming to those and that there would be a 70-year exile and captivity. Now, these evil voices of false assurance that were in Jerusalem and Judah had permeated the captives also in Babylon, and they were believing the lies in the same kind. So Ezekiel is prophesying to them in Babylon, as we'll see. Now, isn't that the message that we hear today? You're God's child. He loves you. You're all his children. So he's not going to judge you. Grace, 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 grace. Well, yes, for true believers, he's not going to judge us. But true believers have been changed, and we no longer desire to sin that way. We mourn over our sin. We are those who mourn over it and desire to do what's right. We are those who confess our sin. But those who don't know the Lord continue in their sin and say, God is okay with me. Peace and safety. Same thing. Same false teachers. Go to a mainline denominational church these days and you'll hear that message straight down, right? And you're starting to hear it in the evangelical churches as they water down the word with few verses that are true. So everyone says, yes, that's the Bible being taught. But then they don't teach through the Bible and teach it fully that we would respond and be more like the Lord. We see in Proverbs that reproofs are a way of life. We need the Word of God to reprove us so that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So with that in mind, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are soon to be judged by God in an awful siege where many are killed and the remaining are taken captive from Judah to Babylon. And the amazing thing is, although there's been two sieges already, they're still in grievous sin, listening to the evil voices of false assurance. And so nothing has changed. Nothing's changed. You know, we're going to see this is about Israel. We're going to see nothing's changed here. There's judgment coming for those who believe they're fine with God when they're really not. When God in His Word declares that they're not. Not that me or you declare it, but God in His Word declares that. We're going to see that. So with that in mind, let's begin our look at Ezekiel's vision and call. And we're going to see, first of all, a vision of God gloriously on the throne in sovereign control over the coming storm of judgment. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 4 to 21 today. Okay? Now, before we get to the passage and read it, I want to review what we've seen already. I want to review what we saw last week because it does apply to what we have today. Look at verse 1. We saw this last week. I'm not going to be in detail to it, but I'm going to share a little bit about it because it is all together. This whole chapter and even going past it is one unit, so we need to keep bringing it together as we look at it. So, verse 1. Now, it came about in the 13th year of the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. Okay, that's what we saw last week. That's what we looked at last week. And you might remember that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. And certainly, as we looked at in later chapters, that he would need to be strengthened because the Lord said, I'm sending you to a people who aren't going to respond. I'm sending people that have hearts as hard as flint. They're not going to respond. So I'm going to make you hard, Ezekiel, so that you will speak my word. It's paraphrasing there. And so we see God strengthens. It's no coincidence. There are times where it's in season and preaching the word comes with no reaction or rebuttal in a sense in churches. These days, preaching the word is a problem. And we see that you need to have God's strength to endure the attacks and the opposition that come to bringing forth the word of God. And so here we see his name is God's strength. And then in the first three verses, we have really, when we notice three preliminary things, one, Ezekiel's a prisoner. He's also a priest and a prophet. Notice Ezekiel was in exile in the land of the Chaldeans. Now, it came about in the 30th year, the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles. He's in exile. And I believe it's very clear, and most would agree, that this 30-year thing speaks of his age. That's really how old he is. He's been in exile for 5 years, as we'll see in a moment, and he's 30 years old. We'll see later on in chapter 24 that he was married, but they're still back in the land, and unfortunately, we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 24. And notice verse 2, and on the fifth of the month, the fifth year of Jehoiakim's exile, and then in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. He is not in Israel. He is in Babylon. He's a prisoner in exile. And again, we have the dating of this book here. He's 30 years old, but also the dating. Verse 2 is kind of a commentary. So Ezekiel's talking, then it's a commentary about him. See, notice it says, on the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest. Now, that would be 5 years into the second deportation. Jehoiachin was taken when Ezekiel was taken. And so it's been 5 years, and this is when this is happening, okay? And so with that in mind, notice it said the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest. He's a priest. Now, priests didn't start their ministry until 30. So he was raised up, obviously, in a Levitical home, a priestly home. Now, at that time, priests were pretty well off in the nation of Israel, okay? So he probably came from a privileged home. But yet, in God's sovereignty, instead of him beginning his priestly duties, God has him begin his prophetic ministry here at the age of 30. And his prophetic ministry begins with visions of God. Now, it came about, verse 1, in the 30th year of the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was at the worship bar among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to see that. We're going to see specifically what he saw. It's clearly relayed, this vision, from verses 4 through 28 to the end of the chapter, okay? Clearly relayed. And the focus is about God. You know, all the wackos and weirdos and the UFO nuts, they love this passage because it's got wheels in the sky and they're like, it's aliens, it's a saucer, flying saucers, you know, and they make it all about that. And they don't realize the whole vision is not about that. It's about God's sovereignty over everything and being on the throne, directing his angelic beings to do his will in a very orderly fashion. You see? So don't buy into it. Whenever someone misses the main point, something's wrong. When they take the side points, you know what's wrong, by the way? The Spirit of God isn't there. That's what's wrong. Whenever people are like this with the Scripture, Spirit of God's missing, okay? That's what happens. So here, we see here, he says, while the river Shabar, end of verse 1, on the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This is primarily a vision of God. Yes, there are fascinating angels and wheels and faces and all kinds of stuff that's fascinating, okay? But this is primarily visions of God. And then we have that subtle commentary in verse 2. On the fifth month of the fifth year of the King Jehoiachin, we already saw already, he explained the vision in light of his years there. The word of the Lord. Here you go. This vision is about the word of the Lord. It's about God's word. Came expressly or came directly, precisely, with certainty to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Shuar. And there the hand of the Lord came upon him. We have God's word powerfully coming upon Ezekiel in the context of the heavens open visions of God. And you might remember I shared last week that the times in which we see the same phrase, the hand of the Lord was heavy on me, was in very specific portions in Ezekiel that were very important, where God's power was being mightily used for his will. We see in chapter 3, verse 14, that he is moved miraculously by the Spirit of the Lord when the hand of the Lord is heavy on him. We see in chapter 3, 22, the hand of the Lord was heavy on him to respond to the word of God, right? We see in another vision in chapter 8, verse 3, that the hand of the Lord was heavy on him. Another vision. And we also see in chapter 33, verse 22, that the hand of the Lord was heavy on him all night before he opened his mouth again, as we'll say. And then we also see the hand of the Lord was heavy on him to bring him to the valley of dry bones by the Spirit of the Lord. And lastly, we see the hand of the Lord was heavy on him to bring him to a high mountain to see a vision of the millennial temple. And so we must remember in this very short introduction that the word of the Lord is going to be brought forth powerfully through Ezekiel. Okay, so let's take a look at the vision. So I'm going to read through it. Let's read through chapter 1, starting verse 4. This is a lot of reading here. Verse 4. As I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north. A great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. And within it there were figures resembling four living beings. And this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings. And their legs were straight, and their feet were like calf's hoofs, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings on the four sides were human hands. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go, without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. The fire was bright, and the lightning was flashing from the fire. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings for each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. As for their rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. And whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went, and whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever those rose from the earth, the wheels rose close behind them, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. All right, well, that's what we're going to look at today. But let's keep reading, because this isn't the whole thing. We got to know that this is connected to what we're going to see, Lord willing, next week. Now, over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like an awesome gleam of crystal extended over their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one towards the other, and each one also had two wings covering their bodies on the one side and on the other. And I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waves as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And there a voice came from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse there was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled the throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. Okay, remember, we're going to see about these angels. That's what we're going to look at today. It's important because God puts it in here. But that's not the main part of the vision. It's visions of God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we just begin to see the curtain pulled back in the heavenlies.
Yes, we did, Dave. And it's an amazing view that we're beginning to get. And it just gets better as we go along in the first chapter of Ezekiel. So with that in mind, make plans to join us tomorrow for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.